If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad rep, bad attention, bad vibes. So I was watching Valparaiso, the Crusaders, playing Bradley the other day in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game. It was crazy to see Valpo, the number 7 seed, the lowest seed ever in the conference championship game, if you can even believe that. But what's crazy is their history, you know what I mean? The Valpo basketball program over the years has done some crazy things, and they've been in the NCAA tournament, and they've done really well. And it basically happened twice. Homer Drew was coaching them in like 94 and 95. They went 20-8. They went 14-4 in their conference. They finished first. And then in 95, 96, they finished first in a conference and went to the NCAA tournament. And then the following year, 96, 97, they went 24-7, even better, 13-3 in conference, first in the conference, and then went to the NCAA, lost in the first round. And then in 97, 98, they went 23-10, finished first in a conference, and made it to the NCAA Sweet 16. How crazy is that? And then in 98, 99, they went back to the tournament, and they lost in the first round. But that's crazy when you think about it. In 99, 2000, they went 19-13, and made it to the tournament, lost in the first round. And then they didn't get back again until 2001, 2002, when they went 25-8, won the conference, and then went and lost in the first round. In 2002, 2003, they went to the NIT. That was with Scott Drew running the team. And then Homer Drew was back running the team again, and they made the NCAA tournament in 2003, 2004. But after that, they didn't really do anything until around 2011, 2012, when Bryce Drew took him in the Horizon League to the NIT first round. And then in 2012, 2013, they went to the NCAA and won their first game, made it to the second round. In 2013, 2014, they didn't do as well. They went to some cheesy tournament, postseason CIT, and lost in the first round. But 2014, 2015, he took him to the second round of the NCAAs. 2015, 2016, he took him to the NIT and made it to the championship game and lost in the championship game. But Bryce Drew did a hell of a job with the team. You look back in the day, they were in the Mid-Continent, and that was the conference. That was what they called it back in the day when Homer Drew was running things. When Bryce Drew was running things, it was the Horizon. And then they eventually went into the Missouri Valley Conference, where they are now, and Matt Lodich is the coach. So I'm sitting there watching them. It's a great story. They went 19-15, but it really is crazy. I look back at the tournament games that they played in the NCAA. In 96, they lost to Arizona. In 97, they lost to Boston College. Both of those were in the first round. And then in 98, they won in the first round. They beat Ole Miss. Second round, they beat and shocked Florida State in overtime, 83-77, and then lost to Rhode Island in the Sweet 16. That was their big run that everybody remembers in 98. In 99, they lost to Maryland in the first round. 2000, lost to Michigan State, got blown out, 65-38. In 2002, first round, Kentucky beat them, 83-68. 2004, Gonzaga beat them, 76-49. They always go up against heavyweights. 2013, Michigan State beat them again. This time, good game, 65-54. In 2015, Maryland beat them, so they had to play Maryland twice, Michigan State twice in the tournament. And in this game in 2015, they lost by 3 to Maryland, so they gave them all kinds of problems. That run they made in the NIT in 2016, first round they beat Texas Southern, then they beat Florida State, then they beat St. Mary's in the quarters. They beat BYU in the semis, and then they lost to George Washington in the championship game. They got blown out by 16. But, I mean, they've done well. In the CBI, they lost in the quarterfinals in 2008 to Houston, and they've gone to the CIT and all the rest, and they haven't had much success there. But it really is a crazy story when you think about it, that that small little school in Valparaiso, Indiana, turned into a basketball school and got recognition. You know what I mean? That people know who they are. Think about it. The conference tournament champions in the Mid-Continent Conference in 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2002, and 2004. That's crazy. In the Horizon League champs in 2013, 2015. In the Mid-Continent Conference, they were the regular season champs in 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004. Their NCAA tournament appearances are 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2002, 2004, 2013, and 2015. And it really is crazy. I mean, they play in an arena that seats 5,432 people, the Crusaders with their brown and gold unis. I mean, it is crazy that they have done this. And now they're in the Missouri Valley turning heads. It really is a hell of a story. But what's even better is that when I was a kid, like a young kid, you know, this is long before I moved to Pittsburgh, I lived in Valparaiso, Indiana. Can you even imagine? And it's true. I went to elementary school in Valparaiso. I went to junior high school in Valparaiso. And so I grew up there. I used to go skiing in Valparaiso, believe it or not. You never thought they had a ski resort in Indiana, but they actually have a couple of them. They have one in the Brown County State Park down near Bloomington, Indiana. And then they got one in Valparaiso. It used to be called the Pines. Man, did I spend a million days at the Pines. So my dad ran the PR for U.S. Steel at Gary Works in Gary, Indiana, where the Jacksons are from. You know, the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson and all of his brothers. That's where they were from, Gary. And basically, Gary was a hellhole, and everybody knew it. And that's where Gary Works was, the U.S. Steel plant that was their biggest steel-making operation in the country. It was right there in northwest Indiana, right outside of Chicago, basically. So my dad worked there and handled all their PRs, a gigantic steel corporation, the biggest in the world. And then Balbo was 30 minutes from there. So we lived in this little nice town in northwest Indiana that was very popular in the corner of the state. It was about 45 minutes from South Bend. And my dad was always working, so he'd give me $100 and tell me to go get lost. So I got lost, all right, I went skiing. I started skiing. I'd go skiing every day after school. I was doing aerial tricks, doing helis, helicopters, 360s off jumps, getting there, doing double daffies, riding moguls, chasing girls, trying to make out with girls at the ski resort type scene. It was pretty cool. And then I got to be one of the better skiers. They had all these really good jumper skiers and guys that could do all kinds of aerial tricks. And I got in with them. And once I got cool, I started getting really good and getting good skis. I remember I skied on Olins. And man, I just thought it was like the coolest thing in the world that I got a pair of Olins. And I would ski every single day of my life. That's all I ever did was ski. And then I played basketball. Bottom line was, when I grew up, the high school team had a couple of great brothers that played for Valparaiso, and their dad was a Converse dealer. So in other words, he was the Converse rep. So Converse back in the day, that was when Larry Bird and Magic Johnson had their rivalry, and they were wearing those badass Converse high top leathers, and they were so sickening. The Celtic white and green ones, and the Lakers had the yellow ones and purple, and they were just so cool at the time. Everybody had to have them. Meanwhile, this guy, Mr. Harden, had a basement filled with 5 million pairs of Converse basketball shoes, and it was just like heaven on earth to me. And I got to be friends with Roger and his brother Rob. I knew Roger better, right? So I played ball. I wasn't as good as them. They were star players at the high school, and they both went on to college glory. Roger went to Kentucky, and at a time, there was a moment there where he was the all-time leading assist guy at the University of Kentucky. Some white boy from Valparaiso, Indiana. It's true. Roger Harden, you can look him up. He had massive game. He could dish. But back in high school, he scored 30 a pop. And he was a scorer and rarely passed in high school because he could just fill it up. And his brother also was a scorer. And the two of them together were scoring like over 60-some points a game. And they were literally a team, the two of them, that took Valparaiso to the state tournament and made it deep into the tournament. I remember they made it to the quarterfinals one year, the semifinals of the states the next. No one could stop these two white boys. Rob would later go on to play at UTEP. And then he ended up coming back and playing for Valparaiso for the Crusaders. He transferred back home. But I knew Roger really well before he went to Kentucky, and he was really cool. He got me pairs of Converse high tops, and I just thought I was such a badass when I was a kid. It was so Gandhi. But growing up, there was this place that I used to work at when I was a kid, and it was called Ronnie's Rib Shack. And my boy Ronnie owned it. It was ribs and pizza. But the key to the whole deal was that he let me deliver pizzas for him. And Valpo isn't big. It's a really small town, so it was easy to get around, and it wasn't like I had to go anywhere else. He didn't deliver to all the other towns around there. None of that. It was just deliver in Valpo. So all I had to do was deliver pizzas in Valpo, and then I'd be good to go. So one of the keys was that 75% of his business came from Valparaiso University. So it was so cool because I was this young kid, and I'm just like hanging out, playing ball, skiing, trying to get chicks and everything like that. Next you know, I'm delivering pizzas down to the college. So imagine the audacity that I had to go pounding on the frat houses and the sorority houses delivering pizzas. And all the girls just thought I was the cutest little thing ever delivering pizzas to them. Look at the kid bringing the pizza to the sorority. Look at this kid. Come on in, kid. Meet all the girls. And I was like, oh my God, this is heaven. I'm going to get some college chicks out of this.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The bottom line was, I went to every single sorority, every single party. I would deliver pizzas to these huge keg parties and just massive action. I was young. I was trouble. I was a troublemaker. And then I was going to these parties and they were giving me beer. I was drinking beers. I was delivering pizzas. I was driving around. I was crazy. I was a lunatic. I was meeting hot college chicks every single day of my life. Meanwhile, I wasn't even old enough to spit. And I knew Ronnie, so Ronnie let me deliver. He didn't care how old I was, and it was just awesome. And then at the time, I was a skinny rail, so I could eat ribs and pizza until I was blue in the face, and I never got fat. Because when you're a little kid, you don't get fat until you're old. I was always a rail. I mean, I was the smallest kid in the world. I was like a point guard, and I was so little, everyone could swap my shot. And I weighed 125 soaking wet. When I went to college at Indiana, I probably weighed 165 soaking wet. But in my sophomore year of high school in Pittsburgh, I grew 1.5 feet. I went to 6'3", but I was really skinny and light. But when I went to college, I could just pound beer and booze and eat. I could literally eat the entire fraternity at the Phi Psi house. I could eat them out of house and home. I could go to the kitchen and eat whatever. I just pound food, pizzas, you name it, strombolis. I never stopped eating. And at the frat house at IU, they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the brothers. It's almost like a buffet all day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're just getting served up. They had a full wait staff and full cooking staff. It was crazy. So when I was a kid, I could just shove food down my face and nothing ever happened. Meanwhile, when I worked for Ronnie, if Ronnie ate a lot of food, he got fat and ugly, which was awesome. But I could just party, meet college chicks. And believe me, when I went to these parties and they were having keggers, do you think they were sitting around not smoking fatties? I mean, it was all happening. I'd go to these bashes. Next thing I knew, I'd see them doing Rio. I'd see them smoking fatties. I'd see chicks naked, the whole deal. It was unbelievable. Boy, did I grow up fast. Little Valparaiso, Indiana. It was all happening. So one of the great things about growing up in Valpo was that my dad was friends with Dan Devine, who used to be the coach at Notre Dame. And guess who was playing for Dan Devine at Notre Dame? Joe Montana. Can you imagine that I had access to tickets to Notre Dame football for every single game that Joe Montana played in his career for the Irish? How great is that? Not only that, I saw the 79 Cotton Bowl in Dallas when Joe Montana led the Irish on a huge comeback and hit Haynes in the end zone for the winner in freezing conditions in Dallas. Listen, all I know is that every single home game that they played in South Bend at Notre Dame Stadium, I would go with my dad and see Notre Dame football. How great is that? I saw them all play there. Montana, you name it. I remember that team. They had Rusty Lish on that team. It was absolutely crazy. Vegas Ferguson. I mean, they had them all on this team. What a game it was, too, in Dallas. 35-34, Notre Dame beat Houston to win that Cotton Bowl. It was crazy. They finished seventh in the poll that year, the final rankings of the season, and they had so many great players. Dave Duerson was on that team. It just went on and on with legends. And I used to go to all the games. I remember they had so many great games with Montana there. It was just so unbelievable watching the guy play football. You got to be kidding me. Can you imagine that I got to see that guy play every single game he ever played in South Bend? How kick-ass is that? You know, the other cool thing about growing up in Valpo is that I was literally 50 minutes or so to Chicago. So I would go and watch everything. Walter Payton and the Bears. I'd go to Soldier Field and watch Sweetness do his thing. It was so awesome. I'm sitting there going to Comiskey Park and Harry Carey was calling baseball games, and I was going to Wrigley Field, and I was going to see the Bulls play and the Blackhawks play, and Chicago was just such a gigantic city, and I'm just this little kid thinking, oh my God, can you believe the size of this city? How funny is that? Spending all that time there, I thought it was the greatest place on earth. Little did I know that New York is just so much bigger. It's crazy. I mean, it really is. And that's why they call it the second city, because New York's, you know, the deal. New York is the greatest city in the world, and it makes everything else pale in comparison. I can't imagine in my career as a kid, I get to see all that and go to all those games and experience all that greatness like Montana and Walter Payton, etc. And then later in life, I would be able to live in Pittsburgh and see six Super Bowls and five Stanley Cups and two World Series, and they won both of them, and to see some of the players that I got to see, and then work in Chicago. I got to go back and work at Sports Channel Chicago and cover the Blackhawks and White Sox, and then work in Pittsburgh at KQV and cover the Steelers and travel with the Steelers and cover the Pirates every single day and cover the Penguins every single day and cover Mario Lemieux every single day. You can't even make this stuff up. How lucky is that? And then got to work in a lot of other great cities, as you know, like Los Angeles and San Francisco and Miami and Atlanta, and then obviously Philadelphia. You don't even know that I worked in Philadelphia. I was doing Eagles pre and post game on YSP for my boy Tim Sabian, who would later be my boss at the Howard Stern channels, Howard 101. He was the reason that I ended up there, and I got to work for him in Philly because he ran YSP, and then working for him even in New York was cool, and then to do radio and television in New York, it doesn't get any bigger than that, and if you make it in New York, you can really write your ticket. I mean, I've worked at the highest level of radio and television in New York for most of my career. It's just crazy that a kid from Valparaiso, Indiana and Pittsburgh, some no-name kid with nothing, literally no one helped me do anything. My dad never helped me get into broadcasting, and he didn't help me get into college. The bottom line was tennis got me into college, and I was on my own, and I got all my broadcasting jobs on my own. I've told you the story of how I got the job in college at Indiana. I'm at Indiana, the sportscaster on the big station in Bloomington. I got him drunk and then convinced him that I could do what he does and I could do it even better. And he thought I was hilarious as I was getting him hammered. And then he's like, all right, hotshot, let's see what you can do. And then he gave me the chance and the rest is history. I mean, I got so good at doing it. Honestly, one of the weird things was, because I really liked the guy. I loved him. I looked up to him. I thought he was a very key person in my life and component in my life and a huge influence in my life to get me started. He made me. This guy literally put me on the air the first time ever. And then when I got big in radio and when I made it nationally syndicated in Vegas in 93 and then in Los Angeles in 95, moving forward, I've been nationally syndicated ever since. I mean, the guy never talked to me again. It was weird. I got big in radio, and then I never heard from him, never talked to him, never saw him again, and never went back. Strangest thing, I never made it back to Bloomington, Indiana, ever. I got out of there in 1987. I was there from 83 to 87. I got out, and I never went back. I mean, I've had all those years. I could have gone back for, you know, homecomings or alumni weekends or to see the Phi Psi house or to have trips back there to hook up with brothers from the fraternity or whatever else. I just never did it. I never had time. I was always a broadcaster. I was always busy. I was always on the air. I was always moving up and doing huge things and too busy to ever just frankly have fun and go back to Bloomington and screw around. It's weird. I never even made it to Indianapolis for anything. I don't ever remember even going back to IU for anything or Indianapolis for anything. Strangely enough, when the Super Bowl was in Indianapolis, I didn't go. I've been to 15 Super Bowls. I just didn't go in Indy. After I left IU, I never went there for Big Ten tournaments or NCAA tournaments because I had been to NCAA tournament games in Indianapolis before. And then after I left the state of Indiana, I never went back. It's the strangest thing. I've never even been back to that great Hoosier State once, even though I grew up there as a little kid. As I got older and went to high school, I went to Pittsburgh, and the rest is history, and lived in Pittsburgh the rest of my young years, youthful years. And then I did go back to Indiana to go to college, but after that, I never went back. It's the craziest thing. I had been to 13 Indianapolis 500s. There's nothing like it. It's badass, but it's weird. I never went back. I never went to see the Pacers play. I never went to do anything there. It's just crazy, but I still love the Hoosiers. And I still care about the Valparaiso Crusaders. I always want them to do well. I love seeing them play in big games. I love it when they make the NCAA tournament. And all I have is flashbacks to my youth and all the crazy things I did in Valpo. Skiing, playing tennis, playing basketball, meeting basketball stars in high school and college. And their dad giving me Converse shoes and all of it was just insanity. I can't even believe it. Or even the fact that my dad worked in Gary, which was really the stinkhole of the world. But then all of a sudden, I find out that the Jackson 5 are from there. So you got to show it respect because everybody loved Michael Jackson at that time. It didn't matter. And then later in life, he creeped everyone out. But that is just crazy, isn't it? I think it is. But little Valparaiso, Indiana, it's not so small after all, is it? So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about was Ozzy Osbourne. So let's get into a little Ozzy talk next.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what's the deal with Ozzy Osbourne? I'm not stupid or anything. I realize that he's had an unbelievable career and longevity and success. He's made tons of money. A lot of people call him the godfather of heavy metal. They say he's made over $220 million at the very least. I mean, that's just off the top of the head. They say that's what he's worth. He's got to be worth even more than that when you think about it, with all that he does on television and touring and everything else. And he's 71 years old now. And then recently he revealed that he has Parkinson's disease, a smaller version of it, if you will. He went on Good Morning America and said he has a mild form that he found out about after suffering a fall last year. And then that became huge news. Think about it. In his early days, he toured. Obviously, he was the lead singer of Black Sabbath, and he was like a rock pioneer. And then he split with them, and he began his solo career. And he's done it for 50 years. Can you even fathom it? Ozzy's still touring, and whether he does it on his own or when he's doing his Ozfest festival touring, but he does it all. He still lives in L.A. Back in the day, he lived in the U.K. I knew that, but the bottom line is he lands in Lipstick City these days, and he's got his family and everything around him. He does these TV shows, right? Have you ever seen his TV show with his son, Jack? Yeah, he does a show called Ozzy and Jack's World Detour. It's in its third season, and they just basically go around causing trouble together. It's a cool way to hang out with your old man, I guess, when he's such a legend. But his son has a form of MS, and now the dad has a form of Parkinson's. It's just crazy. I don't know if you've ever watched the show or gotten into the show, but I've certainly seen it before on TV and watched it for a couple of minutes here or there. You know, it's weird because I worked at SiriusXM and they have the Boneyard channel, which is Ozzy's Boneyard. Now, I won't deny that it's a cool channel. They play all kinds of old metal. And then they have Liquid Metal, which is the speed metal channel that my friend Jose Mangan runs. And all the metal that they play on SiriusXM is cool and everything like that. And I think that Ozzy's channel is cool, and I listen to it, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about him or anything, because that's not a place you want to go. You don't want to start shredding Ozzy and everything. But the bottom line is, it's just amazing to me, it really is, that he's sustained this longevity. It's just crazy to me, it really is, that not only is he still touring, but that he's still popular. I mean, it is just absolutely indescribable to me. How in the hell is that even possible? He's got new videos out, his new release, Straight to Hell. He's got tour dates all over the world. He's playing in Europe. He's playing in London. He's playing in Manchester. He's playing everywhere. Germany. He's doing this. He's doing that. Now, I know he's canceled lots of tour dates because of his Parkinson's, and he's canceled tour dates because of the coronavirus and things of this nature. But the reality is that his new album, Ordinary Man, is skyrocketing in the ratings and in World of Rock and all this other business and all of these ways that you can listen to rock music. He's killing the charts. All of his music's getting massive airplay. I've been listening to these songs like it's a raid with Post Malone. Are you kidding me? Post Malone's doing songs with Ozzy Osbourne, and he's got the Straight to Hell cut that everybody's talking about, All My Life, Goodbye, Ordinary Man with Elton John. He's got old Elton doing music with him now. Under the Graveyard. Here's one, Eat Me. Nothing like a nice song from Ozzy, Eat Me. Then Today Is the End, and all these songs are long. They're long and shredding. Scary Little Green Men. I mean, it just never ends. Holy for Tonight. And then he's got Travis Scott doing a song, Take What You Want. And a little remake, a Crazy Train. And then he's doing a little of his old stuff in here too. Mama, I'm Coming Home. You remember that one? And then Mr. Crowley, Bark at the Moon. All these are on these albums. Dreamer, No More Tears. I remember that one. How about this one? You remember Shot in the Dark. I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. And then Over the Mountain, which was one of my favorites. That was a kick-ass song. Hellraiser. Let Me Hear You Scream. I know you've heard that. Flying High Again. It's just crazy. It is unbelievable. Road to Nowhere. Diary of a Madman. See You on the Other Side. Mr. Tinker Train. Miracle Man. Now he's an ordinary man. Before he was a miracle man. Remember some of these? Goodbye to Romance. Not Going Away. You got that right. Apparently he isn't going away ever. It really is unbelievable to me how long he's been doing it. That's what I'm blown away by. That's what I can't even fathom. The ultimate sin. You can't kill rock and roll. Now you see it. Now you don't. I mean, it just is unbelievable. Breaking All the Rules. Fire in the Sky. Steal Away the Night. Secret Loser. I mean, I could go on and on. I could do this all day. It really is crazy. I mean, I saw this guy's coming out, Ordinary Man, with his album, number one rock album in the world, with top 10 positions in 7 countries. He debuts on the charts. All of his Billboard rock album, Billboard top album sales, Billboard 200 album. I mean, he's ranked in everything. And then he's got his worldwide video premieres. Meanwhile, I got to ask you, at some point or another, I've been going to Ozzy Osbourne concerts since I was 16 years old. I mean, think about it. I'm 54 years old, and I have seen Ozzy Osbourne live at least 10 times. I mean, at some point, I stopped going to see Ozzy. I probably saw him all those times between the ages of 16 and, you know, 26, like a 10-year run. How is it even imaginable that I could go from 26 to 54 and I am still listening to Ozzy Osbourne albums? How is it possible that he is still coming out with albums? How is it possible that he's still touring? How is it possible that he's still making albums and he's alive? I can't even believe it. I know you've seen him on TV. I know you've seen him when they did the Osbournes. Remember, that was a TV show, a reality show for like several seasons where they had the whole family on TV every single day with like his wife. And remember Sharon? He'd scream, Sharon! And then his daughter was on the show, and the son was on the show, and everybody was on it. So you got Kelly, Jack, Sharon. Their TV show probably made them millions. Obviously, it did. And they came right into their home, and you became a part of the family, right? And that was on for several years. And then the spinoff show was the show with Jack and Ozzy. And then I'm just thinking at some point or another, when I was seeing him on TV all the time, I would say to my wife, 34C, I'd be like, can you even believe this guy's still alive? Can you even believe with everything that he's done? Like, there's two people in rock and roll that I would think at some point or another, it's just amazing to me that they're still doing it. And it would be Ozzy Osbourne, and then it would be Keith Richards, right? Who doesn't think that those two should be dead already? I mean, honestly, is there an over-under on how long those guys are going to live? It's one thing to be alive still and survive all the drugs and partying and touring and the booze, the cigarettes, the drugs, the women, and all the problems that you have when you're crazy and you're touring the world and everybody's sucking up to you and giving you whatever you want, including women, hundreds of women, and you're a gigolo, right? It's another thing to be doing it when you're 71 years old. I mean, Richards is older than that. I mean, at some point or another, I was looking on the TV and I'm going, isn't this guy like 110? 71? I'm thinking he's already over 100. It just won't ever end. I mean, you know, this bodes well for me when you think about it. I see these guys like Al Michaels, he's getting up there, and Brent Musburger, he's doing the Raiders play-by-play. He's 80. And then you got Ozzy Osbourne, I thought he was like 105, and he's still touring the world and doing concerts, even with his Parkinson's and everything else. I can't even understand a word the guy says. Have you ever seen him do an interview? He's slurring, and I'm just like, what is he saying? I can't even make one word of it out. I don't even know what it is. When I watch him on his TV show with his family, I watch just to laugh because I don't understand anything he's saying. He's just mumbling. And then I watch him on the show with his son. It's the same thing. He's even crazier. I can't make out a word of it. I don't know what's happening. But he's living forever, touring forever, making albums, best-selling albums, highest-rated albums, and world tours, and making hundreds of millions of dollars. And I can't even believe it's happening. So, I mean, how long can I do Pharrell on a Bench and Sports Grid and TV and radio? You know, because everybody said, how long are you going to do it, Pharrell? I'm like, I just kind of want to do it till I'm 65. I don't want to be that guy still doing radio and TV when he's 70. And then when I look around, these guys are all doing it. They're 80, 90, 100, 105, and they're still making tons of money, and people are still putting him on, and people giving him huge gigs. Ozzy's bigger now than he was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I went to see him. I thought, this is the scariest dude ever. He's eating bats. Remember, he bit the head of a bat off? And then now, he's bigger than that. That's nothing. Because I used to think that Ronnie James Dio was way better than Ozzy when Dio was on Black Sabbath. Ozzy was on Black Sabbath. I thought Dio was better. I like Dio's voice better. I know Ozzy's a great heavy metal singer and everything like that. But when I heard his album now, this new album that's out that everybody's talking about, Ordinary Man and everything, I just think it's the editing, the production, the post-production, when they're in there on the soundboard and they're tweaking his voice. I mean, what are you, like 105? You're still shredding heavy metal songs and you sound fantastic, huh? When I listen to guys like Daltrey and all these guys that get older, David Lee Roth, they all sound awful. Have you seen them live? Their voices are shot. But when you get these guys in the studio, they're grinding out albums and making money because they tweak their voices. It's not even them singing. It's these digital remastered production pieces they put together to make these guys sound good. I wonder what he sounds like live now. I mean, I know they shred the music so loud you can barely hear the guy singing because they make the metal so good. The band is so good that backs him up. Am I crazy to say that? Like, I know he was going to do some show at Sirius where he was going to have a bubble concert for everybody at Sirius XM. I think they had to cancel that, but he was going to do a show, and then instead I think they did an album release or something, or an album release party or something like that. But, like, live, do you think he still sounds like he did when I went to see him 50 years ago?
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
I mean, honest to God, I mean, think about the countdown here. 40 years ago, basically, I started seeing Ozzy Osbourne live. I guess he was young then. And I thought, this guy's like the greatest metal singer ever. I was seeing Crazy Train and Bark at the Moon and all of that. And now he's still coming out with heavy metal albums. I mean, this is unbelievable. My future's bright. I think I'll be able to do the show forever. I'm going to base my life now on Ozzy Osbourne and Keith Richards and Mick Jagger. I mean, they're doing it into their 80s, aren't they? Nobody ever goes away anymore. Think about it. Osmosis, The Ultimate Sin, The Blizzard of Oz. I remember The Blizzard of Oz, and I remember Diary of a Madman. That was when I was going to see him. Now, in 2020, Ordinary Man. I mean, the guy's had so many albums, I can't even keep track of all of them. He's even had 6 live albums. Just Say Ozzy, Live and Loud, Live at Budokan, Mr. Crowley Live, Speak of the Devil Live, Tribute Live. I mean, he does studio albums, live albums. He does it all. I'll give him this. When he did Blizzard of Oz, and you could hear him working with the shredder Randy Rhoads, that guy could play the guitar like no other. and they were fantastic together. Rhodes was cutting edge stuff, and he made Ozzy absolutely rock star central. Think about this. He was doing Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath in 1973. And that was when he was a stud with Sabbath. Can you even fathom that? Think of it. I mean, he was doing albums in 72 with him. Black Sabbath, Volume 4. It just never ends. I just know one thing. When I was at Sirius, and I think to this day, they treat him like he's the god, literally, of heavy metal. That no one can touch him in terms of metal. And that he has set the standard, and that's that. I can't imagine what they'll do when he's gone. God forbid if he passes away ever. Hopefully that'll never happen. I wonder if he'll be touring when he's 200 years old. I mean, seriously, and I mean that respectfully. I've never seen anything like this guy, you know, beating the odds and all of his maladies and all of his illnesses and everything else. And I mean, drugs and booze and Parkinson's and everything else. I mean, he's had it all. He's had falls. He's had vertigo. I mean, Ozzy's been through everything. And I think that the one thing, the glue that's held him together is Sharon Osbourne. And then look at her. Like that Osbourne show, she turned her career into like this gigantic television entity as well. She's been on that show to talk on CBS for at least a decade. They've been doing that. She became enormous on that show. Eventually, I think she left that show after they all started splitting up and Sarah Gilbert left the show. She had been on there for like 10 years and made a just mountain of money. I mean, she got filthy rich off of that show, too. She got bigger than Ozzy. I mean, honest to God, she's on network television every single day of the week. And she was on there with Julie Chen, whose husband was Les Moonves. He was the guy that ran CBS until he got popped for alleged sexual misconduct and all the allegations against him. And then everything started falling apart with that show. I think it's still on the air. They just have all these different chicks on there, but it really is crazy when you think about it. The careers that have spawned off of Ozzy and Sharon and Kelly and Jack and what they have turned that into. I mean, just stacks of gold and money. They're printing money and they've been through everything. The bad health, you name it. But you can't slow them down. You can't stop them. It truly is incredible that he's got all these new albums out and videos and he's rated as high as he is. And he's got the radio channel that everybody still loves and listens to. You can't even make this stuff up. The guy is literally a freak of nature. I know that they canceled that South by Southwest festival in Austin. And I know Ozzy, Trent Reznor, and the Beastie Boys all pulled out of their scheduled activities at that event that eventually got canceled anyway. But Ozzy was set to attend the world premiere screening of Biography, The Nine Lives of Ozzy Osbourne, a two-hour doc special that explored the many lives and decade-spanning career of the legend, which is going to be airing this summer on A&E, but he canceled it. He said, I'm not going anywhere near that with all the coronavirus and everything else and with his health issues. So a lot of big stars are very worried about the Hanta, the coronavirus, and they're not doing their concerts. So a lot of people started wondering if he was going to tour again at all. He came out with the album and everything, but he did say, quote, I desire to get back on stage. I'm not ready to hang up the mic yet. That's what I live for, to do shows, end quote. He told Good Morning Britain. He exercises frequently with trainers. He does Pilates. He gets massages and receives care from nurses on a regular basis. He said, the best medication I can get is being in front of an audience, which is breaking my heart, to be honest. He also said that he will perform live again. Quote, absolutely, I will be up there. I have to say that. He said, stopping is not an option. I have to do it. That's the only thing I've ever done in my life. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. That's the only thing I felt confident about, that I can do it. He did say at some point he's going to have to stay off the road. You have to have a goal. Whenever the man upstairs wants to say it's over, I got to keep on trying until I've exhausted every avenue. Your boy Ozzy even has his own YouTube channel with over 1 million subscribers, so he's still got tons of fans. Nobody can slow down Ozzy. If you look at his YouTube page, he has all kinds of behind-the-scenes videos. You can see how he shoots his videos, like under the graveyard. He takes you on the set to show how they make it. It's pretty cool. He's even got his own store where you can buy millions of shirts and albums and everything else. You name it, he's selling it. I was watching his Straight to Hell video, and it was kind of creeping me out. They got this violent heavy metal music. They got all these people trying to kill each other in a street fight. And then he's in a limo and screaming at me and saying that you're high as a kite tonight. And I think they just make him out to be this evil person. Meanwhile, we know he's not evil. He's really nice. That's what's throwing me off my game a little bit. It's all an act. But he is evil in these videos. He scares the hell out of everyone, including women and children. It's very scary. I was watching all of his videos, and like the Straight to Hell video, over 5.5 million views. Scary Little Green Men had 840,000 views. All My Life, over 480,000 views. Holy for Tonight, over 240,000 views. Eat Me, over 535,000 views. Goodbye, same thing, over 540,000. How about this one? The Crazy Train video, 6.8 million views. This guy gets everybody watching his videos. Still to this day, he can't be stopped. It is beautiful. It really is an incredible story. He was born in Birmingham, England. His mom was a Catholic who worked at a factory. His dad worked night shifts as a tool maker at GE. He had three older sisters, two younger brothers, and the family lived in this small two-bedroom home in Aston, and he's had the nickname Ozzy since primary school. He had dyslexia when he was a kid, and when he was 11, he suffered sexual abuse from school bullies. So he was in Sabbath forever. And then in 78, they got rid of him. He left to do Blizzard of Oz and his solo career. And he got under $100,000 for his share of the name of the band. And he said he locked himself away and did coke and drank for 3 months straight, thinking he was going to kill himself. But Blizzard of Oz ended up being one of the albums among the 100 bestsellers of the 80s and got multi-platinum status without even the benefit of a top 40 single. The worst part was in March of 82 and the Diary of a Madman tour. They were a week away from playing the Garden in New York City, but a plane that had the band's tour bus driver carrying Rhodes and then others, the band's costume and makeup designer, crashed while performing low passes over the band's tour bus. The left wing of the aircraft clipped the bus, causing the plane to graze a tree and crashed into a garage of this mansion, killing Rhodes and others. It was all horrible. The tour was canceled for weeks while Osborne, Sharon, and Aldridge returned to LA to take stock of where they were in their career and everything else, and it just was awful. He started doing the Ozfests in the 90s, and it was all managed by Sharon, and then Jack was assisting on it. The first one was held in Phoenix, Arizona in 96. And then they just kept having them, and they kept getting bigger and bigger. 5 million people have attended Ozfest. They've grossed over $100 million. Big bucks. I remember in early 2003, he crashed his ATV, and he broke his collarbone and 8 ribs in his neck. He broke a vertebrae, and he had an operation on his collarbone. He had all kinds of problems. They said he stopped breathing following the crash, and everybody thought he was dead, but he survived, and he kept making albums. He came out in 05 with a box set called Prince of Darkness. You can literally read about Ozzy's drug and alcohol abuse in his career for hours. The stories just go on and on and on, and he admits he did everything and lots of it and has no problem with it. In terms of that he did it. He doesn't even care that he did it. He's like, I did it. What are you going to do about it? Screw you. I wanted to get all kinds of Pharrell'd up. Your boy Ozzy finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in April of 2012. What a brilliant career. It is crazy. So I just started watching all this stuff about his new album, and I was reading about his career, and I was going back in time and remembering my childhood and seeing him when I was a teenager, and I can't even fathom. I spent an entire day going back in this guy's career and reading about him and everything he's done and every album, every tour, everything that's happened to him, all the drugs, the women, the marriage, the TV, all the awards, everything else. And it just was fascinating. So there you go. My hat's off to you, Ozzy. I can't believe you're still doing it. I mean, you are invincible. You gotta love Ozzy Osbourne and getting a little Pharrell on the bench. Shake that hoo.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.